When did you know you wanted to become a professional wrestler?
Wow. Let's see. It started when I was like four. My first match ever, I remember this, it was a blindfold match with Jake the Snake Roberts and Rick Martel. I think it was WrestleMania 7. And that was like really like, I thought it was so silly and funny, and it was awesome because they did the roles right. Like they played the roles right in the mat, like in the hoodies. But then like when I watch it now, I'm like, this is amazing stuff. And like, but as for that, to be a professional wrestler, I would say when I was like 13, you know, everybody has their first dream, but like the high flyingness of the Hardy Boys got to me, Jericho, The Rock, his charisma. You see all these people that you know, you're little, you're young, sometimes you get bullied in school, so you would like look after these guys, like, wow, these guys are like somebody I want to be when I grow up. And then, you know, being that I was daring also and stuff with the skateboarding and all that, so after a while, all this extreme stuff I would do would catch up to me. And I was like, I want to be a wrestler no matter what. And I got in touch with Johnny Rods, 2004, and what I'm doing now is 7 years later. It's something I never, you know, would ever forget, you know. Mm-hmm. I met a lot of good friends and people. You know.
So where are some of the promotions that you performed?
Promotions? I did a lot of New Jersey shows, NWS National Wrestling Superstars. They had like, that was good. You learned a lot from them too. ECLL, East Coast Lucha Libre. That's also another spot that I healed out on.
Sorry.
And stuff. VPW, Victory Pro Wrestling. That's a recurring thing. Every other month I go there and I wrestle and show my stuff. They're awesome people. Those guys they're very hard workers. Even though it's indie and stuff, they're very hard workers, those people.
Okay, so who are some of the performers that you kind of model yourself after? I know you mentioned The Rock, the Hardy Boys, and things like that.
I would say, now that I have a lot of old school in my blood, I would say Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man Randy Savage, I like him. Chris Jericho is definitely one of my idols. Like, he got me into, like more like just being an entertainer also.
So how important do you think it is to not only be able to perform in the ring, but also to entertain?
Entertain, like performing, I would say performing entertainment is the same thing. Then you got wrestling, and then you just got doing the spots. And a lot of guys like to do spots because they don't have the entertainment side of them. So the entertainment side of them yet. So like to perform it's amazing because you can always do a spot, but also if you could do the spot and perform it, it means a lot more to the crowd because it's. You ever watched The Lion King on theater on Broadway? It's like that. You see those guys, they're in costumes, but you know they're in costume. But for 2 hours of watching The Lion King, it's like for those 2 hours you're watching The Lion King, you believe those guys are freaking lions. And you know that's how I am as a performer. Like they know we're not really killing each other and stuff, but at the same time, for those 15 minutes of me wrestling and stuff, they're in it, they're grasped, they're holding on. So performing and being entertainers is a huge deal of wrestling and stuff.
It's more like the suspense of disbelief.
Yes.
Okay, great. What's your finisher?
I do the Tiger Bomb. Mm-hmm. I do Tiger. Sometimes you know. A little awkward, some people don't take it right and stuff, but it's one of those moves there. It could be powerful if it's done correctly.
Yeah, double underhook powerbomb.
Yeah, double underhook powerbomb.
Guys like Dean Malenko,
yeah.
Things like that. You ever mix it up, like use a submission move after?
Yeah, I used to use the Lion Tamer a lot, because that was a big tribute. When Jericho left the wrestling from like 05 and on, mm-hmm. And that's when I started really getting more innovative with my wrestling. I did the Jericho Lion Tamer as a tribute to him. I called it the JTL, Jericho Tribute Lion. Or something. You know, it was fun.
Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
In 5 years, making it, you know, seven. I would call. I'm doing this 7 years, and I would say this is lucky number seven. Hopefully. Lucky number seven, but in 5 years I will hopefully make it and stuff. And if not, I'll be a gym teacher. I'm always helping. I like to help and teach, you know. Especially when I'm in Johnny's, like if there's a kid struggling and stuff, I'm always helping and making sure they get their stuff together, get their basics. Make sure they always know their basics because some of these kids, they get so excited that, oh, I want to do a backflip, this and that, but you don't know how to roll. You don't know how to do a scoop slam correctly. Why would you want to do a backflip? Because it looks pretty. It don't make sense. So, you know, I have to really bring them down to earth as a wrestler status. Because when they walk through that door, that Gleason's door, they're a whole other person because they decided to be this person. So, but in 5 years, gym teaching or hopefully making professional wrestling.
Okay. So, if all of your dreams could come true in this sport, in this profession, where do you think you'd be in 10 years from now?
10 years?
Yeah.
Made. I would say hopefully I have my own house, family. You know, there's nothing wrong with a family sometimes. When you're, you know, just comfortable. I would like to be comfortable with wrestling, and you know, I was told from Devon and from people that share their wisdom about wrestling.
Devon Dudley.
Yeah, Devon Dudley. Uh-huh. That you take what wrestling gives you. You take it all. You know, don't give yourself a limit. Like, all right, 5 years, I'm done. No, you take what wrestling can give you, and then when it's time, you're done.
Sorry.
You know.
So, who are some of the other people that have trained you besides Johnny Rodz?
Trained me, Ricky Vega. You know, he's the one that really taught me how to get down and dirty in the ring, like learn to be a man inside and outside the ring.
For people that don't know who that is, that's Machete
from TNA. Yeah. Okay. Awesome worker. He taught me almost everything I know in wrestling. Mike Gallagher, he's another one. He told me how to work without saying words, just to feel out your opponent. Even if it didn't make sense, even if there was no psychology in the match, you're feeling out their opponent, and you're just working pure improv in wrestling. And he's one of the guys that really taught me how to work without talking and stuff. But also, you know, always communicate. That's all the other thing. Tim Arson, another guy that really got down and taught me the more heavy part of bumping and selling a lot. So a lot of people down the road, you know, they really work with you. You know, like back then, it was like really all hard work and all that. You know, it's a lot lighter now because a lot of guys are gone. You know, they went on with their lives. Some of them made it, some of them didn't, but. I still keep in touch with them, and they're amazing people. No matter what, I love them to death because they made me who I am today. Even if they corrupted me with drinks, but yeah, man, those guys are always be in my mind.
Over the last, I would say 5 or 6 years, wrestling has kind of been toned down a little bit. You have more of the entertainment. Guys don't really do as much in the ring, like on television, pay-per-views. You still get phenomenal matches.
Yeah.
But do you think that's kind of affected the way some people have been trained? I mean, because you started getting trained before that happened.
Yeah. Like when I see wrestling now and then later, when I see wrestling now, it's very entertaining stuff. Like when I watch the Raw shows, or there was one time I went to a live Raw show, and it's pure promotions just for the pay-per-views, and it's good, you know, because you probably make most of your money on the pay-per-views. You know, I'm still green to all the news, you know, all the money and marketing and all that stuff. But, you know, that's a smart way of promoting on the pay-per-views, is just really going at it at the pay-per-views, fighting at the pay-per-views. You know, tease everybody at the shows, the Raw shows, the SmackDown shows, or any type of shows, TNA shows, and, you know, pull all your effort into the pay-per-views, and you can see a big difference, everybody's satisfaction at the end of their program and stuff.
Okay, for the people at home that say this is fake, what would you say to those people?
Fake. It's not fake. Because you get banged up. Like, my 7 years, I got pretty banged up. My first match, I got my jaw dislocated. I got stingers. I got clubbed in the neck so hard I couldn't feel my arms for, like, 10 seconds. I split my wig due to Minion. He knows who he is. I broke the cartilage that's in between my collarbone and my sternum. You know, but these are all things you can't blame people. You have to blame yourself because you could always prevent it. You know, so I would never blame them. You know, I just got, every time you get injured, you have to get smarter. You have to get smarter for it and stuff. Know your injuries. Like, know, all right, if I do this, is this gonna really do something in the future? You know, is this gonna give me arthritis? And then, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, so.
I mean, Johnny is a great guy to learn from, considering the fact that, I mean, he's pushing 70.
Yeah.
And
he can still go in the ring.
Yeah, and he can still walk around. He can still do whatever he has to do. And, I mean, he told me when I interviewed him, he was like, I walk just as good as you do. Yeah. So is that someone that you kind of try and emulate that way, to take care of yourself?
Yes.
And take care of who you're working with?
Definitely. I learned from Dr. Death, Steve Williams. He said, there's three things that you should always do in your match. Have pride in your work, protect your opponent always, and don't bury the referee. And I don't bury the referee. That's always been, like, melted and, like, steamed in my brain. But have pride in my work is one thing, and never hurt my opponent. Never hurt my opponent. Like, I'm pretty sure they get banged up for me sometimes, and I'm pretty sure I get banged up, but at the end, they can still walk, they can still live their life.
Okay, last question. You can wrestle any person, any wrestler, living or dead. Who would it be, and why?
I would say Ricky Steamboat, because, like, they always said it, and even in his videos, they always said it, if you ever want to learn how to wrestle, watch Ricky Steamboat matches. And it's true. He's fantastically basic. He's amazingly basic, but basic to the point where you don't know what's basic.
Mm-hmm. Best arm drag in the business.
Exactly. And I still try to do them. I suck at arm drags when it comes to Ricky Steamboat. Like, I just have to do the Johnny arm drags. And Johnny arm, not to bury Johnny arm drags, but, you know, then I do Ricky Steamboat arm drags. So, but I would love to wrestle Ricky Steamboat and stuff. Like, I think when I saw Jericho wrestle Ricky Steamboat, I got a little jealous. And I'm not even in WWE yet, but I got jealous.